Flags live.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
So this is our non-general fund, all of our special funds and capital projects budget, and May is going to go over it with you tonight. When we get to 7 o'clock, we're going to do the public hearing on the property tax levy, and then we'll come back if we're not done with this to continue our work session. Ms. Miller.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here on this rainy night. So this is the rest of what we call our kind of budget document. So we try to break it into different pieces because it takes about 2 hours to go over each section. What will happen next is next week we'll combine all of it with the mayor's letter and renumber all the pages so they'll be consecutive starting from one. That would be from the last public hearing. And then they will be posted on our website because per RCW, we need to have those posted for the first 2 weeks of November in our official newspaper so that the public knows, you know, what we're presenting in the budget. They can look at it and see what's being prepared right now. This is not the final document or anything. That will come out later on in November where it will all be bound up into a document. But it's 99% of what the final document will be. And so this is, you know, the last chance we have really to kind of go over with you, have you guys answer questions, ask questions, give us input, you know, something's missing we need to add or whatever, so that we can make sure we get all that information out to the public and meet our, you know, our city requirements to make sure that the public really does know what's going on in our budget process and do have a chance to give us input on it. So with that, if you want to go over to page 2, which is the first page with numbers on it, and in this, when we did the silos on our, when we had that meeting, we have general fund. We've already gone over that. That's our biggest piece. But this is the special revenue funds. That means that the state and the government has decided that these can only be used exactly for these purposes, and they're set in law that they have to only be used, like street gas tax can only be used for street work, street repairs, and all the street-related charges. So that leads us to our first fund, which is the street fund. And we get gas tax, if you'll see line. Oh, it goes from 1 to 3. We missed line 2. See, I can change that.
I didn't see that.
Line 3, the gas tax, and that comes from the state, and it's a per capita amount. And it's based on the dollars they collect. They divide it amongst all the citizens, so it's kind of like King County. If one area gets more and one less, you might get less all of a sudden than what you thought was your share, but it's on a per capita basis. And I think we added about 10 new citizens last year. And so we get a little bit more. You can see it's a pretty small amount and per capita basis. And actually, as our population has grown a little bit, the per capita amount's gone down because a lot more people are driving electric cars, and it's only on gas. And so far, people that drive electric cars don't have to pay into this. And that's one of the things that we as cities don't have any control over other than to talk to our legislatures at the state, because they're the ones that, you know, would have anything to do with how that works. But that is, they give us the dollar amount. They send us an email and said, here's exactly how many dollars to put in your budget for 2017. So that's what we put in. Right away, those are permits when people do street cuts or different right-of-way applications through the community development. And as we've had more applications for plats and new buildings or improvements, it's improved a little bit. We're budgeting exactly the same as what we did in 2016, although we haven't collected that only about half of that so far, but it's very difficult to know how many permits are going to come in or when. I just try to put down what I know we've collected so far for the year-end estimate. We may get more by the end of the year. And then the other revenue is really other kind of shared permits where there are different kind of street-related inspections, and they come in through community development, and then they're allocated, and some of them for engineering reviews when we have Seth review different kind of permits for, you know, the street-related, you know, what about your curves, what about your sidewalks, what about width and all that. As he has to do reviews, this is the part that would go back to the street fund to help pay for his costs that is charged here.
You're missing line item number 7.
My numbering system is not too good.
Yeah, it's supposed to automatically number.
It is. Well, that's the changes we make. I mark all these. I take them back, and then we get them into our document that will be posted, because it will get it out to Brenda on Monday, and that'll be out. And so on line 8, in the past, we've had to transfer in real estate excise tax just to have this fund have enough money to even just pay our few staff that we have allocated to this budget. But since council adopted the transportation benefit district last year, we started to collect the $20 car tap fee. I think it started in about May this year. We had to wait 6 months after it was adopted. And so we'll have a portion of a year collection this year, and next year we'll have a full year of collection. Yeah, right, so that's the difference. And because of that, we no longer have to transfer in our real estate excise tax, and that frees that money up then to be used for capital projects and for grant matching. So that's a good thing. And I've had very few calls about it, and usually when I explain to people that the gas tax revenue has gone down, and everything, I haven't had anybody go away angry about it. They've gone, oh, really, I didn't understand all that. And when we talk about, you know, what it's really used for, I mean, it's picking up the street trees, and it's sanding, and when it's snowy, and it's all the things you do in the street fund. For capital projects, because real estate.
There was a lady that did come to one of our council members that commented on she didn't know what it was for. But
I had a call recently.
Well, that was at a meeting. She was upset only because she was having a hard enough time paying the regular bills.
Yeah. Right.
I think she understood about the conversation.
Right. It's an annual. Right. It's an annual amount. Now, I've had a few calls, and we have a narrative written up, you know, about, you know, when it was passed, what it's for, and how we use it. And it really just, you know, kind of covers the street expenditures. So on the expenditure side, then, on line 9 down towards the bottom, we're going to, you know, end with $111,000 in our reserve in that street operating. And you need to keep some reserve in there for cash flow to pay wages when some months you don't get as much as other in revenues. So you can see that it's decreased a little bit over time, but it's still, you know, adequate. That gives us about a 46% reserve in that fund, but that we try to keep it, maintain it, because you never know when some emergency expenditure, you got a big windstorm and you got trees all over, you've got to go spend the time, or you've got to hire somebody to help you get them all out of the way. So you just need to know a bad snow year that you could have some emergencies that would require some of that. So this fund is solvent now and looks good. The next page is a next special revenue fund, and this one is fire impact fees. And back in 2012, the city passed fire impact fees so that when development comes in and gets a permit for a new building or new construction, they then pay for future improvements for equipment and fire stations. And that money is collected primarily for that purpose. And every year we have to report exactly who paid how much. It's about, I think, $1,783 a home. We list on our finance webpage every single person that's paid on that until we use it, and then we'll show, you know, how it was used. It can only be used for fire stations and fire equipment. But you'll see on line 2, this year in revenue, we've I only budgeted $17,000 because that's about what we got a year. We actually received $135,000 so far this year, and that's because of the Enumclaw school. So there's formulas on you know how much, right? How much square feet you have as opposed to a house, and then they pay a higher amount. So that really helps our fund with what we've been collecting since 2012. And if you go down to the bottom where I have a line two on the expenditures, I estimate we'll have about $255,490 by the end of next year. And that, with if they sell one of their fire trucks, will almost be enough to buy the replacement fire truck. We have that budgeted for replacement in 2018.
On the capital improvement plan, it's budgeted for 2018.
Right, so to be replaced.
We would have enough money to do it then, so that's
it's
really good to know that we have that there.
There's
a number three missing on that section, too.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't notice that yesterday.
So I'll have to have Janet collect all those numbers. Pardon?
The fire impact fee is only on reconstruction. It isn't on reconstruction.
If you tear down a building and do it, I know it's not on reconstruction, I don't believe. I believe it's just on the new. And it's a reduced fee if you have sprinklers. So I think it's $1,400 and something if you have sprinklers.
Yeah.
So we've got some permits this year, and if some of the other permits come through, it's paid at permit time. So it's not like property tax where you have to sell the house and it has to be sold before July to get on next year's rolls and all that. Or REIT, where you have to sell the house and collect it. This is when you get a permit.
Question I have is, since this was passed back in 2012, you know, given the cost of labor, materials, and everything that goes up just as it does, is this fire impact fee sufficient, or is it something that the city needs to look at?
I think it's something that we could relook at. I know there's something in that original ordinance that talks about a construction rate or something that you can use, and I called the fire department, and part of it is, has the cost of building the fire stations increased significantly, and they have to give me that amount. We have to use that in with some other index to try to raise this, so it's a little bit of complex, but I did call the fire department this year and ask them about that, and they at that time didn't have any better numbers to give me, but that definitely is something we could look at during the next year.
Okay,
good idea. I'll write that down. Thank you. The next page then is the Transportation Benefit District Fund, and we're required to set up a separate fund to receive the money. And we receive money every month. It's as soon as you pay your car tab fee, then within 2 months we get the money in the city. So it just depends on when people bought their car, what month they bought it in, and then some months we get more than other months. So it's their annual renewal when we get that fee. And then we just transfer down below $100,000 into the street fund to be used for the street, part of the street funding. And then I left just a small amount in there because it's difficult to know exactly how many dollars we're going to get in a full year.
And is there any benefit to leaving much money?
No.
You know,
it's all, you
almost
know.
Almost like a pass-through.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any way to tell how much we're going to get from that?
Well, by the end of the year, we'll know how much we've collected for part of a year. I know how much we've collected so far, and I've got it. You know,
but by the time you end up with a January report that would give you 12 calendar months, may vary a little bit, I would assume, as people buy or sell their vehicles.
But it would still all go in the transportation fund, and then next year if we have a surplus, we can transfer in more, or if we are short, we can transfer in a little less, but we'll know better after we have.
But for budgeting purposes, it'll give you kind of a ballpark number to...
And when I put the budgets in, I go back and pull all the reports. How much is it a month? How much is it average? Today I pulled the report. I think we got 7,800 last month for October. received in October, so that's about a two-month lag. Mm-hmm. So, but it comes in every single month. So every single month we get a report from the state, and they transmit it to us like almost to the end of the month. They give us our sales tax and other money all on that same report. So it seems like it's running about what we got estimates from the state when we set that up, and they knew about how many cars we had licensed to for renewal. And so they gave us, the numbers that were pretty close to what we're really getting. So I'm feeling real comfortable about that. Okay, so that's all the special revenue funds we have in the city. Oh, wait, no, I haven't gone over the traffic mitigation. I missed one. I just whipped ahead.
One special one.
Yes, one special one. And this is the one where the Enumclaw School District deposited $74,055. In the traffic mitigation fees, and that's for future intersection improvements.
Those three intersections.
Right.
And then know which ones they were off the top of their head.
I did not bring that. I can get back to you.
Scott Moore. Park.
Yeah, there was an additional one that they voluntarily put in, so there were four altogether. But yes, Andy and Scott.
Thank you.
They are helping fill in for some of the public works questions. So we just we don't know, when they're going to be spending that. I just put it in the budget there. It probably will be done intersection by intersection, so it can carry over from year to year. If it's not, it has to stay here. It has to be reported. It can't be used for anything else.
Yeah, and I kind of looked at the CIP, and I couldn't see many of them.
Yeah. It's not in the CIP because we had that developed before before this came in.
Okay. Any
the internal service funds are the next section. That's where we have a common purpose in the city to replace equipment or buildings, and all the funds can contribute to it. So it's internally we transfer in. So if you go to page 7, the equipment replacement fund, the first one is for fire equipment. And that's, we don't have very much money in there. We've transferred in a little here and there over time, and so we have about $48,000 in there. I just have it budgeted on line 1 in the second section under expenditures for fire truck repair. In the past, you can see in 2015, we spent $22,573 repairing that fire truck. And this year, we budgeted $38,000. So far, we've only spent $6,000, but we're not through the year yet, so hopefully we'll make it fine. And if we don't spend it, it just stays here, rolls over next year. It doesn't go anywhere else. We don't transfer it out or anything. It just stays here. And then if we have enough money from the fire impact fees and we go ahead to do a fire truck, we'll transfer that money in here and then buy the fire truck out of this fund in the future. The second group is the public works, and the street transfers in water, sewer, storm, and then we put some REIT2 in there for the park and cemetery mowers to help replace those. So that's the revenue each year we get, and it's been consistent since I've been here. We did just start doing this cemetery and park the last few years. And if you go to the top of the next page, you'll see the pieces of equipment that they're planning to replace next year are a mower for $15,000, and they want to repair a backhoe for $10,000. And on line 7, it shows that they'd end with about $205,803. And if you looked at the capital plan out in the future, they've got a truck replacement and a backhoe for $130,000. So that money can go fairly quickly if you purchase a big piece of equipment. But we have that forecast out at least 6 years in the future.
Councilmember Dean, the backup on expenditures for fire equipment. Mm-hmm. On the air bottles, is that what we were going to rent?
Yes, and I put that over in the operating budget because it's really not rent. This isn't really where you rent things. So I have $10,000 in the operating budget for fire for the bottles.
Okay.
So page 8, mm-hmm. item number 8 under expenditures, you mm-hmm. talk total fire equipment replace uses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's under public works equipment. Does that need to have a different title?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah, these are like public works Janice. Equipment or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Well,
and yes, yeah. So she's pulled those forward. When she
well, and you go down. Let's see. Oh, no, that's okay. Public works stuff on the
floor. Yeah. Oh, there's fire. Yeah.
Public works of the police.
Yep. There's fire
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Good.
And there's fire equipment in the police.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, we'll get those out of the title. So you evidently pulled those titles over from other lines.
Sure.
Well, I mean, that's yeah, we're just taking the word out of that. No.
Yes, yeah. Public Works.
Yeah.
Public Works.
Yeah, see, this is Public Works Group. And it's
Chaplain's there. Public Works.
Yeah. In the bottom section is police. So the last one is the police equipment, and you'll see on line 4, we're recommending a loan from the sewer fund to buy the police vehicles next year. And then they'll sell some of their older ones, and we'll put that in the money from that in this fund also. And then if you go to the bottom part, they do have some carryover cash from another year when they bought vehicles and we hadn't spent it yet, or and some radios. So they can add that to the 160 and use that to buy the 4 patrol cars or the 4 vehicles. And I think Jamie has brought to the committee, or to someone I know, she's prepared documents on those. And we're going to be coming back in November to council with this proposal. And because she has to actually order those in the fall to get them delivered in February. We wouldn't pay for them until next year. And if we do the loan, it wouldn't be in effect till next year.
Right.
And then in the future, the sewer fund has to be paid back with interest, and we pay the same rate as we earn if you invested it to the sewer fund. And so it will show with sewer payments coming back starting the following year, because they give 1 year, and then the following year you make your first payment. By then, hopefully, we'll have some growth and more funds. So now we're going to go into the utility operating funds, and the utility funds are more like a business fund where council has a responsibility to set rates, to pay their bills and their debt, and buy their capital. So in government, they talk about it as being more like a business operation, where in the general fund, you just get taxes. You don't set tax rates necessarily. They're limited, but in these funds, we actually set rates. So the water charge is line 2, and I did get it numbered correctly here. We've actually got a little more revenue. I'm expecting more by the end of the year this year, and that we'll get a little bit more even than that. What's happened is we've had some growth with some new places going in, and we also have the school buying tanks full of water to keep the dust down in the summer. In the dry weather, and also the other project down here, they bought a lot of water to test sites and everything. So we expect that'll continue this, because the school will be under construction through the summer next year, and also the Oak Point. So we've got that revenue in there. And line 6, we have been transferring in from the water reserve just to make their expenditures every year. But since we've got a little bit more revenue, I don't need to transfer in out of the reserve they now. And you can see way back in 2014, we were transferring $80,000, and that's when council approved the rate increases. And the rate increases and then the growth has started to now match, so that we now are not dependent on using our reserves in the water operating fund. So that's good news. Right now, the rates look fine in the water. The other good thing is we paid off a couple of debt issues, so our debt costs have gone down a little. So the combination has really helped shore up the water fund. And I think that goes back to the rate study we had and the proposal he did, where he said if you raise the rates 15% for 3 times, you're going to be able to cover your costs. And indeed, it's happened. So I'm really pleased about that.
On the expenditure side, if you look at line 5, that is our debt service payment, you'll see that it has gone down. In 2014, it was $381,000. Now it's down to $318,000. We've paid off a debt issue. And I'll go over the debt on the next page in a second. And then line 7 is their $10,000 transfer to the equipment replacement fund. So in these funds, rather than having a 10% reserve, bond agencies usually recommend 3 months of expenditure. So they're really recommending like a 24% fund reserve. So on line 10, I show what 3 months worth would be $119,000. And we've got a little room there in case the revenue were to fall short or there's an emergency expenditure. There's a little bit of cushion there. But absolutely. These funds cannot be commingled. They can't be moved. They can only be used for water and water projects, period. And the auditors are really audit carefully on this. So right now I don't see that we need a rate increase. Our fund balance is adequate. And that's good news.
Yeah,
it can be used only for water.
Right. Yeah, we can't understand that. Okay.
All right. So the debt page, and I apologize, it's sideways. But we have two public work trust loans. One was taken out in 2006 for $180,000. As of the end of this year, we'll owe $67,250, and our annual payments on that are $11,250, and then our interest is 0.5%, so it's a very small amount. So we have a few more years of payment on that. The second one was a loan taken out in 2005, and that was for water, extra water for the city for when we grow and for some of the pipelines that we had to put in, reservoir, and those costs. The payments on that, there are two pieces of payment. We owe altogether our debt. Well, just on those, that issue, we owe $2,363,000. So we're a little more than, well, about half paid off on that issue. It'll decrease the farther you get into the loan, just like house payments do. And our interest is about $295,000 a year. I mean, our principal, $295,000 a year. And our interest rate on that also is 0.5%. So the total then, you can see, we started out, oh, that can't be a right total. Huh. Yes, that $17 million can't be a correct figure on that one. That must have been the old one before we paid off, or I don't know where that number came from. I will fix that total on line 1 on the left, the bottom total. And we also have then on the far right, the water operating fund is making $216,000 of that debt payment, and then a developer is paying $101,000. And every June we bill the developer that co-signed this, and they bring in their check so that we have enough money in there to make our payment in July. We also carry a letter of credit from Palmer Coking for their total portion that they still owe on this. And they'll continue to pay on this until that second amount is paid off. The sewer operating fund, has a planned rate increase for next year. We got a letter from Metro, and it's for the transmission of the sewerage and the treatment of that, and pretty much all the cities in the area pay into that. And we have an agreement. They tell us what our rate is, and it's going to go up $2.18 a month per residence. and a related amount for commercial. So that will be result in a rate increase. They bill us every single month that amount. We have to pay it. And all the cities then pass through that rate increase. So I'll be bringing back that rate increase in November, I believe, maybe December 1st, one of those two meetings, either the second in November or the first one in December. And there will be a city share rate increase also because we have a small amount we charge for our maintenance staff that take care of our side of it before it gets to their pipelines. That is needed because this fund has to pay utility tax to the state. We pay 3.5% every single month to the state, and we also pay utility tax to the general fund to help pay for police and fire.
So I have a question. This is Janie. Normally Metro raises their prices like every other year.
Yes, this is the every other year.
This is the every other year, but we didn't raise our city.
No, we didn't.
Last year.
No, we did not. Okay. I think so the last 2 years.
So. Okay, so we're just piggybacking.
Yeah, and we've what's happened, we keep having to pay higher and higher expenditure because of the utility. We weren't covering that, and it's pulling down their balance, as you'll see down below.
Yeah, okay.
We were on line six up above under revenue. We had been transferring $80,000 out of their reserve into the operating fund to help cover their expenditures. This year I had to increase it to $100,000. Next year it's going to – I can drop it back to $80,000 with these rate increases that help cover some of those expenditures. But that's still a huge drain and something we definitely are going to have to look at in the future. The sewer operating fund right now on line 11 down below is dropped their – you know, their cash balance is down to $95,000 with no excess. That's a real close budget. It pays their operating costs, their metro sewer costs, and leaves it tight. So next spring, I'm hoping to bring back the guy that did the rate, big computer analysis rate study. He can update that model, come back and show it to everybody. And the good part about that is he puts a lot of what if in there. What if we have growth? What if we don't have growth? And he'll use several different combinations, and people can suggest different scenarios. And you can quickly see, you know, what those rates will do.
Just don't schedule it on the hottest day of the year when the air conditioning goes out.
Right. Yeah. We do have 10% reserve to cover the operating side of the costs, so of our operating costs. And I'll go over their reserve, all the reserve funds in a few minutes. These are just the operating side. So the stormwater operating, we've had some growth in that also. And we've also had been more persistent, I think, about collecting past dues. We've been filing liens and collecting several of the past due amounts that people hadn't paid for a long time. And so that's resulted in a little bit more revenue this year. And we still have several outstanding, and I believe we'll be collecting those. So I've increased the revenue without a rate increase to about this year's trend and a little bit of growth. So I think we'll end with $364,000, and I showed that it'll be $375,000 next year for revenue. They also get some inspection permit money and some allocation of the CESS engineering time through the permit process. And both of those have grown a little bit. I didn't put a lot in there, but some. On the expenditure side, their fund balance is dropped and dropped. We're not quite at 3 months. We're at 18.7% with that balance. There is no extra money in this fund towards any capital or anything extra. This is just operation, not a dime for even matching a grant in this fund. So this fund is the one that I really expect we'll have to look at some modest rate increase next year.
Erica here. Mm-hmm. I was talking to some county people yesterday, mm-hmm. and that county, the county is increasing their stormwater fund. Their stormwater funding, it's like about 123 now, and they're going to go up to 170 almost if it goes past the council.
Yeah. I saw some other cities
It's mainly to do with the new stormwater requirements.
Absolutely. We haven't increased our rates for several years now. I think it's about 3 years now.
Councilmember Weber, mm-hmm. So on the outstanding balances that are needing to be collected,
mm-hmm.
Is there a collecting fee? I guess there would be.
We have
passed on to.
Right, we do, and when we file a lien every 6 months, we also charge their account for filing the lien, our time filing, and what the county charges to file those liens. But we have, as property sells, then we have collected some of those, so that's been good. It's worked out fairly well. So where are we time-wise? Oh, we're doing good. Okay, this is I don't know what this has to do with capital funds, but we decided that must be my role. Okay, so real estate excise tax. If you look at line 2 in the revenue, we budgeted $95,000, which was a slight increase over last year, and we collected about $150,000, or I expect we will by December. That is because of the sale of the Oak Point, sale to Oak Point, and so that we get 0.005, we get half a 0.005 real estate excise tax on sales. And so that helps this fund some to be able to match grants and fund projects. I pulled the budget back next year because I don't anticipate a big sale of land. But still, if there are some homes sold, and we know the Shake and Bake is working on some, as soon as they sell, we get within 2 months, we have real estate excise tax dollars. We get that from the county. Every day they transmit money, and as soon as they sell, then we get money. Down below, we just transfer out to capital projects, and the capital projects are shown on the next page. So there's real estate excise tax, like I said, it's 0.005 on the sale of real estate. We put half of it in for general government projects and half for public works projects. So this is the general government portion, and the bottom kind of tells you more than the top section. The top section just said it was the transfer in a REIT, but it's also if some other fund is working on a combined project, it comes from them. We get some King County tax levy money. We're applying for a Seattle Port Alliance signed grant, and then we have some little bit of grant matching money. So down below, how we're going to spend it in the 217 columns, starting with Project 1, is right now we put in another $35,000 to continue working on the comp plan. If we don't need it, we won't spend it, but we need to have the money there if we do need it. The Ginder Creek Trail Project, these are now projects that were in the capital plan for 217. So this project was to restabilize the Ginder Creek. You want to come up to the table, one of you, to talk about some of the public. They know more about some of these public works projects. So they'll be for tree removal and death. Is that what it said, I think? Scott?
Yeah, the Ginder Creek Trail Project, it's one we're working on in conjunction with King County. Our city-owned property just north of the library, that's been targeted as a spot to put a trail. Right now we're in the early concept portion of the project. I don't know if we'll actually get to design next year, even pre-design, but it is targeted. We're looking for funds to do it. So that's where we are on that one.
Okay. Then Project 3 is our technology project. That's to switch out our servers and to get, you know, different upgrades we need in security, also phones. So this is kind of an annual amount that
we need every year just to do the capital parts of our technology. This item four are the signs for the gym, which I think Tammy had suggested, Councilman had suggested at the work study. And then we added a wayfinding sign also to that project. And I know that Mr. Williamson has applied for a grant through Seattle Port Alliance to help pay for part of that. So that we have that in there showing a grant for revenue, a portion of the revenue.
Councilmember Dean, just to clarify that, Councilmember Pepper wanted some signs for the gym.
Oh, it was. I'm sorry. It was you. Yes, that'll be good. I apologize for that. That was you. I remember that now. Yeah, and we talked about what kind of sign even. So great. All right, we'll get that in there. And the police technology is there to keep their police phones and all their systems going up here and working on combining some of the servers next year. Campus improvements is $5,000 in case something breaks that we have to fix. And that we have a little bit to set aside for grant matching. It's a small amount, but we'd like to start an amount and then carry it over in case we get a grant and we need to match it in this area. So this fund, pretty much the money just comes in from reader grants and whatever, and it can only be, you know, can be spent on these projects that are listed here.
Councilor Dean, so Scott, on the Ginder Creek, I remember when Goodwin was on the council, and that was the big push. Is that the area you're also talking about? Need to work with Palmer Cove and Cole on the easement, is it the sewer easement?
We have a sewer easement going through there, and with a sewer easement, you know, it's good for sewer, so we'd have to tack onto that easement to get permission to put a trail on top of it.
And I think in the six-year plan in the capital, there's expenditures in future years also. This is just one portion of the expenditure that they hope to tackle in pieces. Sometimes it's just an engineering piece or different pieces for the capital plan.
Pepper here, number nine. Could you talk just a little bit about the in-forest open space land?
Well, that probably take Mr. Williamson here.
No, I just short.
I'll let him.
Thanks for asking that question, Councilmember Pepper. The in-city forest is part of an open space agreement. I believe it came out of the Paducah, which is the Black Diamond Urban Growth Area Agreement, and part of that set a parcel of land down on Old Lawson. So if you know where Lake 14 is, and then if you look across where Jones Lake is, people might know that.
I know where that is.
Okay, but across that kind of gravel road, that's called Old Lawson. And where that road goes out, there's a section of timber there behind where the Hanging Gardens Nursery is that the city had wanted protected. And so that is what is considered the city's in city forest protected.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it does kind of say in.
It has been.
Okay.
The kind of like the never ending project, the always going on project, the we keep changing attorney project, and by the time we get an attorney up to speed on all the documents and stuff, then they've moved on and another attorney, and it's just we do need to close it out, but we've had it there since 96.
And this is kind of like the excise tax and some of the legal.
Yeah. But there's a pot of money. There's a pot of money that King County is holding of to purchase that land. So this is kind of, we just need to get this done so that the land can actually be transferred to the city of Black Diamond. No.
Councilmember Dean, so don't you leave. I've seen an aerial picture of that area. Is that what I've seen of trees down? Is that from the beavers? And is that in the city?
There is one area there where the beavers are down. There's another area there.
because they're not part of it. The property that we are hopefully purchased and hopefully will close is owned by Palmer Coke and Coal. So.
Right. Good question. On the next page, the real estate excise tax 2, we call it REIT 2, has slightly different rules. You can't buy land with this money. So anything that has to do with land purchases in the other, on the other page. This is the other identical amount of money. So the revenue side is identical to REIT 1 because it's just the money split in half and then transferred over to projects. So if you go on to page 18, and Scott, we'll probably need you back up here because there's quite a few projects here. So if you look at line 13, the total dollar amount of those projects, $7.5 million. And if you look at the top, a little bit of transfer in REIT money, line 1, and then the TIB grant for Roberts Road. We have some grant, line 4, that we'll apply for or get, which is 224th and 232nd. Southeast, right. I have that written down, Southeast, Avenue Southeast. Those are grants. And then developer funded is $5.9 million. And I'll go over which projects they're down below that are developer funded. And Scott's here to tell you about those projects. So down below, Project 1, it's called, well, we talked about it today. What is it really? Annexation pipeline or new arterial? It's a developer funded. I think it was called annexation.
I think just
annexation pipeline.
I believe there is an annexation road and a pipeline road.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. I'm probably mistaken though.
It's T3. I wrote pipeline on it. I went back and tried to look up what the names of all of the projects were in the capital thing. Yes, T3. And it's the annexation road, and we need to have the funds in there to show that we're meeting growth, you know, even though developer will be paying for these projects. The item 2 is T4, and that's also developer. It's a Lake Sawyer Road extension. And they're 100% developer funded. Item 3 is T2, and that's just continuation of the Roberts Drive reconstruction. Do you want to say anything about that one? Mostly grant.
Yeah, mostly grant funded. We received 2 grants on this one to extend the project. We're in design phase right now, progressing along really well. A lot of the expenses on this project will be construction next year as we wrap up design this year.
Yeah, that's why we have it in the 2017 budget.
So the 4 roads that are the 4 roads that are developer paid for, the four intersections is 1, 2, 4, and 6. And those are like $4.9 million just for 2017. There's a lot more money in the projects long term. But those 4 developer-funded projects are about $4.9 million in 2017, I believe.
So, yes, line 4, yeah, that's the Roberts Drive, Lake Sawyer Roundabout. That she just spoke about. That's the developer funded for $1 million next year. And, you know, is that design or what? I'm not sure what that was. I think we just put in their construction. No, they're all developer, 100% funded. Line 5 is a REIT funded city project. Yes, developer. Right, but it was Seth's belief that these projects.
The attorney said they had to be included
right.
in the budget.
Right, and to show that we're meeting
somehow the city's meeting the growth and that we're planning to have these projects done to meet growth that we need for growth.
Because in previous years, we didn't put these projects on the budget, but the attorney said that he thought that it was important to show them because we're going to be working on these projects. So money is going to go out, and these projects are going to be worked on. So he felt like it needs to be on the budget.
Right. They're not grant-funded projects. They're 100% developer-funded projects.
After here, Mayor Benson, am I understanding you to say that 1, 2, 4, and 6 are scheduled for 2017?
That, yes.
Okay.
By the developer, that portion of them. There's a whole bunch of more expenses after that, but we're just talking about 2017.
Council Member Edelman, I just want to, it's a point of clarification more than anything else, because 232nd Avenue Southeast chip seal is on here, and I just want everybody, the council and whoever may listen later, this actually goes, I believe, from 288th south to where Greenbrier kicks in. It is not entire 232nd. So I just want to, it doesn't go in front of my house. I wish it did.
Going back up, item 5 is a city project, REIT funded. It's 224th and asphalt overlay.
Councilmember Deedy. So May, on the ones that are developer funded, could you just put that?
We will. I did after today. I went through and marked all of them. And so when we post this, I'll put a D for developer funded or whatever, say developer funded.
It must be 5.9 because that's what you show as developer funded for revenue. So
right. I think it is.
I remembered the wrong number.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Items. Right. Item 6, again, is the developer-funded Ravensdale 169 intersection. Item 7, 232nd Avenue Southeast, and it's grant.
So on 232nd, we actually did not apply for that grant.
Okay.
So we'll be able to pull this one off. It's the same grant program as 224th, and we didn't want them competing against each other.
Oh, okay.
And 224th is our higher priority.
Okay, I'll make sure that I change that. I have T numbers on 7. Number 1 is T3. Number 2 is T4. Number 3 is T2. Number 4 is T9. Number 5, somehow I don't have that one written down. I think it's T5, maybe. T5. And number 6 is T17 I have. And that might be page 2. I'm not positive on those. But I can put those by it. Okay. Yeah, there's no reason why I can't.
It does make it really quick.
Okay. I'll do that. Number 8 is the grant matching, where we do need to set money aside because if it's a TIV grant, it definitely needs a match. And even if it's a CVDG grant, it needs a match. Street overlays repairs. This is the $30,000 that we put in there annually just to do them. Minor little patches and stuff that we have to do. It's $30,000 we use REIT to do that. And then all the rest of the projects shown there are just old ones that were either planned for, maybe didn't ever happen, or we didn't get the grant, we applied and didn't receive it or something, or we did and I show it on the expenditures.
Councilor Hardy, so Scott, when will, for the First Avenue sidewalk, when do you think that will start?
We're looking at grant funding for that one. That one we're pushing out quite a ways. It's basically just that portion right off of Baker, heading south on First. We were looking at King County CDBG funds for that project, but given the size of the project and all the administration that goes into a CDBG grant, we felt it wasn't worth it at this time to go after those funds for that project.
What is that, Lawson? It's not Lawson Sidewalk, is it?
No, the First Avenue.
First Avenue, okay. All right. But if, you know, during the year, if a grant comes up and we apply for it and receive it, even if it's not on here, we can come back with a budget change or and with the council approval and still go forward with those. So this is just pulling projects that were in the capital plan. Sometimes we don't get the grant we apply for. We get a different one. And so I bring those back then for a budget amendment, and I'll be bringing back. There's a few grants we received this year that didn't already have a budget from last year that I'll be bringing back in November for a budget amendment to this year. I think there were like five various ones where we actually received the grants. Page 19 is our water facility fund, WFSA, we call it, Water Supply Facility Funding Agreement. Partners pay 100% of this cost, and this is for the springs. You might mention where we are on that one.
So on the springs, right now we're looking to upgrade our chlorination system. And once we have that done, also we're exploring our different options for our water supply, looking at ways to make the maintenance costs lower. And a lot of that we're exploring right now. We're just looking at our different options, getting different reports, and just weighing everything out right now.
This, the major part of this is planned next year in the future. This is just a small part of it for some of the early expenditures. The next one is the water capital reserve and reserve fund. This fund, on the revenue side, we actually get water connection charges for people that build a new home. And so it looks like we're going to come in around $60,000 this year just for the few that have already applied and paid that money this year. And so I just budgeted a similar amount next year. It's possible we'll get more, but it's hard to know. So I just carried over that budget amount of $60,000. Then on the bottom, the projects that we're going with next year is line two, which is W3 in your capital plan, for $30,000 to continue the comp plan, water comp plan. We need to continue till we get that completed. Number five is W5 in the comp plan, in the capital plan, and that's the survey and I can't read my. Do some survey work. Oh, and a grant application, right?
Yeah, so we're looking at King County CDBG funds for that project. And in order to apply for the grant, we have to do an income survey in the project area to determine if that area will qualify for those grant funds.
So it'd be worthwhile. We've received several CBD grants, and they've done a lot of good projects for us. Page 7, or line 7, the line 6 is just internally transferring from a grant in fund within that to itself. Line 7 is painting the reservoir, and that's really just maintenance, I think, of the $4.3 million gallon reservoir. That's Project W1.
Oh, that's correct.
And that we need to keep those up, because that's a very expensive reservoir and one we all use for water.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and reset this portion of the meeting and go to the public hearing for the property tax.
Yes, I do. Just shuffle my papers here. Okay, per the RCW, we are required to have a public hearing before the end of the month, and we've already had a work study on this, so the public hearing just puts out the same information I provided to you exactly at our work study. It's been posted online. It's been advertised in the paper. This would involve the adoption of one ordinance to adopt the ongoing levy of property tax, add a little bit in case they find some more new construction before they get done. They'll reduce the levy down to exactly what the dollar amount is. And then there's a second ordinance that we, if we want to go ahead with the 1% that we're allowed for cities under 10,000, we pass that 1%, which is $14,810. That would all go for public safety, for police and fire. And those have to be in, mailed out of our office before November 30th. So I'll bring these ordinances back for adoption on the November 17th meeting, and then we have to fill out the form, and they have to receive them. And that's it was listed in the MRSC guidance for when property tax levy set and filed with county by November 30th. So, and they have to actually receive that. So we're really under time constraint with those levies.
So is there anybody that wanted to speak for this public hearing? So where, I don't see anybody else. Did you want to speak? Did you want to speak, Gary? Okay, so we will continue this public hearing until November 17th. Is that correct?
I guess we can.
Well, isn't that what it says in here? It says in here.
Okay.
Public hearing is being held on October 27th and November 17th. With action expected on November 17th.
Yeah, I don't think we advertised it for the 17th, so maybe that language is incorrect in here.
We'll just keep it open since nobody was here, and this is not a normal meeting night.
Yeah, that'd be
and November
great.
17th will be, so.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I have one question. This is Councilmember Edelman. Have you had any input, May, from anybody in the city?
No, we have not.
Okay. Thank you.
The proposed mill rate is expected to go down again next year, but that doesn't mean property tax will go down necessarily. They usually go up 1% just from the city portion, but others, you know, voted levies can increase it more than that. No, I've not received any questions.
So this is probably off topic,
uh-huh.
but I'm on this page.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I think this is from before.
It is.
Mm-hmm. But the first thing that came up was property tax, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm on 9 of some other.
Yeah, it's about the third or fourth. Oh, I did. It's yeah. Yeah,
so,
it's number 9 out of our budget document, I guess, and we. It's a colored page.
And
so, what is the question?
So it's pretty. It's sort of general.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that you said that 100% of the property
mm-hmm.
tax was going to public
mm-hmm.
safety. What I was wondering was which one of these 1 through 8 and 13 and 18 has to go to public safety.
There's no definite requirement, but most cities use all their utility and gambling. Criminal justice absolutely has to.
Criminal justice has to?
Yes, liquor tax and profits.
Has to.
Court fines
have to.
EMS
have to.
And then the police grants and their own money have to.
Mm-hmm.
So the
13 state sales tax.
That one does not have to.
And the business license
right.
fees don't
no,
have to.
Okay. They do not have to. We just wanted to make sure we were covering all our expenditures down below. So pulled a couple of additional sources.
I'm just
and I know
so
when right when we voted in the property tax levy, we said that it would all go to police.
We did vote that in,
mm-hmm.
did we?
Yeah. So
before as well. So
right.
We voted. This isn't a state requirement, but a black
yeah,
diamond
right,
requirement.
Right.
And I know that Maple Valley also, when they passed their utility, it was all passed for that it would go to their public safety costs. Ours doesn't say it has to, but we've been using it for that.
Well, if we have it in our, that's what we're getting these people to come and talk about. And do what we said we're going to do.
Okay. Good questions.
So I think we can close this, or we won't close a public hearing. We're going to continue the public hearing until November 17th, and we will go back to our work session now.
Okay. Thank you. So if you go back to where we were on page 20 in that document, I wanted to point out that line 8, you can see where we started out transferring to the water operating fund in 2014, we transferred out $80,000 just to keep them. And I mentioned that before, but it's gone down, and this year we're not transferring in anything out of the reserve. So that leaves the reserve balance here for future projects or any that would come up. Some water line would break or something would break or something. We would have some funds in here to meet that. And the revenue up above on line 7 of $125,000 nearly covers all the expenditures there. So we're using very little of the reserve to actually fund the projects we have in here.
So
we're in balance with the projects that were in the capital improvement fund. There aren't funds available to do the water asbestos line replacement in the future, and that's the one that.
And that's the main maintenance.
Right. That's the main maintenance one that, as we grow, when they had the rate study, showed that one itself, as we get more water connection charges, that'll get more money to help do that. If the state puts more money in public work trust loans, we could borrow money because those are usually 20-year loans at real low interest rate. They've kind of robbed that fund. If they put that money back, there could be money available. If people want to increase the rates to do that, which is a hard thing to do because we try to be kind of competitive with other rates and look at if we're going to have a sewer rate and a stormwater that we really, really need, how can we do water too? And water right now is holding its own as long as those asbestos lines hold up.
We're fixing lines. We're not being proactive.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes. But as a small city, we only have, 900 and 800 customers. It's hard to have 800 customers pay for major line replacement because it's very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Our water debt was still 2.5.
Right, but it's the funds right now are paying those payments. In a few more years, another one will drop off.
I know. I'm thinking so. Mm-hmm. Maybe after that, maybe we
right.
Everything stays the same. Maybe then we would have more.
Right. It'll be paid off in 2024, the last water bond issue. If there's more growth too, more connection charges, that'll give you money to start putting in there. So kind of look as we go. Every year we have an opportunity to relook at the capital plan and see where we are. To know where we are in growth. Okay, the stormwater fund. And if that's not the next page in there, I think we had an extra page, sewer page. Yes, somehow two sewer pages already in there, so cross the line through that page.
Oh, okay.
And I did on mine, and I'll make sure the final does not have two page 21s. Somehow, when I got copied, it had two. Okay, Stormwater Fund. This fund is 100% grant funded because there, like I pointed out, there's no reserve, stormwater reserve money. They're just grants. And so if we get a grant, we can do a project. 22. Yes, we already did it. It was in there twice, if you looked at the previous page. So right now we're showing project. Some of them did and some of them didn't. Oh, we didn't cover sewer. All right. Well, let's go back to sewer. All right. Let's go back to sewer then. I apologize. So sewer connection fees are a lot lower, and not every resident has sewer in the city, so we don't collect as much on that one, but I do have some in the budget for next year. We also have some projects that they put in the sewer fund that will have funding coming from other funds, like the fence around the facilities out here that other funds will help. So that'll be a transfer from other funds just to help pay for that one project. So if you look at the bottom section, where this line one is just the transfer out of the reserve into the operating fund, and I showed that on the operating fund that there it'll be less next year, but we still need to keep transferring in the cash. Line three is S2 in the capital plan, and that's infiltration and inflow. And it's an annual amount that we need to maintain the sewer lines. Line eight shows the loan to the sewer to the police for the police cars, I'm sorry, going out of that fund. And that was also in the capital fund, and it was listed as a sewer. No, I don't think it was listed in there. Line nine, the transfer out is just the internal, and it shows the same amount on line five above. It's just transferring between these projects, so I can keep track of where the money comes from. Line 10 is that facility, the fencing. That's the one that Tammy had mentioned, and the other one is Pat Pepper. The fencing out here around the shops and some facility improvements for next year, and it's $59,000. And water and storm each are transferring in a portion of that. That's where they transfer in from the other funds. The last line 11 is S3 in the capital plan, and that's the Cedar Brick sewer main. Can you talk about that one at all, Scott? I don't know much about that one.
Mainly next year, the portion of the work that we would do would be to acquire necessary easements and to do some of the engineering, the preliminary engineering, some of the legal work that would be needed in order to move forward with upgrading the sewer system through there.
Okay. That would leave on line 13 an ending fund balance next year of $285,374. And then as the 160 is paid back every year, that would bring that fund balance back up and add the 160 back in then as the payments are made. So there is still some fund balance there. However, every year we've been using about 80,000 of it, so it doesn't take too many years to pull it down at the rate of 80,000 a year. So we really do need to look at those rates. We certainly couldn't ever increase the rates enough to make an $80,000 charge to our citizens in 1 year. It would be way too high a rate. So we need to look at it more gradually and do some gradual rate increases to start building up towards that. 5 years.
Going back to the Cedar Brook.
Do we
hear anything about that land ever doing some other use?
We had a
it last year that came in and talked to us about it? But they haven't been back. So I don't know. Have you heard from them, Andy, at all since last year? But the ones from last year, they wanted it to upgrade the court. They have several other ones, the Water Gardens in Covington or Maple Valley, whatever area they're in. They have some upscale mobile home parks, and they were really interested in upgrading it, but I don't think they ever came to any kind of a decision.
I sort of run into that landowner at some of the groups that I go into, and he didn't seem like he was really ready to do anything. That's the one thing that was sort of concerning to me in a way, is if we knew that something was coming ahead, but I know the sewer down there needs to be replaced. And it sort of looked to me like the map is pretty straightforward. I don't know if that's how that's gonna fall in place, but it seemed to me like it was pretty straightforward, and that maybe it could be maybe a different use could use it too.
Yeah, as far as the map we did, it was just kind of a more visual presentation. Mm-hmm. It was quick to do a straight line. So
I have a question. This is Councilmember Edelman again. At what point does the city have responsibility? I understand for the sewer main. But then at what point does the property owner take over throughout that mobile home park? Or is the city responsible all for the entire sewer system in that park? Would you like to sit in my chair?
Choose my words carefully here. The sewer line that runs through Cedar Brook Mobile Home connects into the Morgan Creek. So Morgan Creek actually hooks into that Cedar Brook Mobile Home part. So our asking for this money here is to start moving forward with easements, designs, and to upgrade that system.
But if it's like on the city side of the street, then the city would pay for it. If it's on the property owner's side, then the property owner is responsible.
Those are really great questions that you're asking.
And it has nothing to do with this. Thank you very much.
No,
I'm serious. That's okay. I was just curious.
If the city's wheeling its sewer through a sewer line, one would assume it would be the city's responsibility. So we'd like to move forward with that. So, yep.
And I did have two sewer pages in mind. That's why I missed.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't. It's been my call. Okay, so now. 22. Now we'll go back to the stormwater funds. There's an opportunity grant that was set aside, and that goes for Project 1 down below, which is D3 in the capital plan, and that's to start in doing the engineering on the North Commercial Storm Pond.
And that's been, since I've been on council, our number one project in the city to improve the water that goes into Rock Creek and into the lake and Ginder Creek.
Number two down below is if the state, again, next year comes up with stormwater grant money available for some operating expenditures or improvements. That's just to put in a dollar amount. We don't know if there will be or not, but there may be. So I put some money in there in case there is and in case it gets approved. Project 3 is
D2 in the capital plan, and that's just a continuation of a grant we already have. Is that, I believe that's true, because we're already working on that Covington Creek project. Project 4 is D1 in the capital plan, and that's the Lawson Hill Storm Pond sediment removal. And we're just going to use a little bit of cash from the Stormwater Fund to do that, because we expect it can be $10,000, and we don't believe there's a grant available for that. And number 5 is just the Storm's contribution to that facility upgrade across the street for the fencing and the facility upgrade they need. Like I said, it's all grant funded. There isn't, you know, I mean, I guess right now I'm showing there might be $36,000, but that's probably grant money that can only be used for these grant projects. And it can't be used for anything else or transferred. So if you guys have any questions on these or any changes or additions, we are, if you go to the calendar, right now we're on item 9. We've had the public hearing tonight. We've had the work study, and we're getting ready, and the web will be upgraded or will be posted with the preliminary budget on November 1st. Then our very next council meeting on the budget will be November 17th. That's item 12. The budget document will be out then. And we need to, you know, have everything available for the public so they know, you know, potentially what is in the budget. The property tax needs to be adopted on item 13 that night, so that we can get it in the mail and get it to the county by that due date of the end of the month. And then there's another public hearing on the budget on item 14 on December 1st. And that's, again, a requirement from RCW that we need to have our final public hearing on the budget. And that does happen to be on a council night this year. Most years it doesn't.
It doesn't say public hearing here, though. It just says hearing. Maybe you should
okay,
insert public.
I will do that. Public hearing. And and I will bring back an ordinance that night to adopt budget, and it can be adopted that night. We have adopted it on December 1st. Other cities also usually adopt the first or by the second council meeting. So these are dates that they require that we meet, and that we get the information to the public. If there's any additions, changes, or anything, we need to get them so we could have them in the budget documents. So we're meeting all the RCWs and dates that we're required to.
So is there anything that anybody else wants to add right now? Do you have any questions about things to add that you want to add to the budget, or questions that you have about the budget? Oh.
This may help you rest a little bit. We've been watching the repair costs fairly closely. I don't think any more needs to be said.
So anybody have any other questions before we close this work session? Do I hear a motion to adjourn? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.